The doorbell rang, and she started to the shutters. But before she reached them, she hesitated, turned, and blew out the candle. Thus it was that, though she saw someone standing in the wet below, he, though he looked up, did not see her. To reach his room, he had to go by hers. It struck her that she might slip into the passage and just say that she would be gone before he was up, and that their extraordinary intercourse was over. Whether she would have dared to do this was never proved. At the critical moment, Miss Bartlett opened her own door, and her voice said, "I wish one word with you in the drawing-room, Mr. Emerson, please." Soon their footsteps returned, and Miss Bartlett said, "Good night, Mr. Emerson." His heavy, tired breathing was the only reply. The chaperone had done her work. In the morning, they left for Rome. The drawing-room curtains at Windy Corner had been pulled to meet, for the carpet was new and deserved protection from the August sun. Two pleasant people sat in the room. One, a boy of 19, was studying a small manual of anatomy and peering occasionally at a bone which lay upon the piano. From time to time, Freddy bounced in his chair and puffed and groaned, for the day was hot and the print small, and his mother, who was writing a letter, did continually read out to him what she had written. And continually did she rise from her seat and part the curtains and make the remark that they were still there. "I think things are coming to a head," Mrs. Honeychurch observed.
"Time they did."
"I am glad that Cecil is asking her this once more."
"It's a sad go, isn't it?"
"Freddy, I do call the way you talk unkind."
"I do think Lucy might have got this off her chest in Italy. She can't have said no properly before, or she wouldn't have to say it again now."
He returned to his work. "Just listen to what I have written to Mrs. Vyse. I said, 'Dear Mrs. Vyse.'"
"Yes, Mother, you told me. A jolly good letter."
"I said, 'Dear Mrs. Vyse, Cecil has just asked my permission about it, and I should be delighted, if Lucy wishes it. But—'" She stopped reading. "I was rather amused at Cecil asking my permission at all. When it comes to the point, he can't get on without me."
"Nor me."
"You?" Freddy nodded.
"He asked me for my permission also."
She exclaimed, "How very odd of him."
"Why so?"
asked the son and heir. "Well, what do you know about Lucy, or girls, or anything? Whatever did you say?"
"I said to Cecil, 'Take her or leave her. It's no business of mine.'"
What a helpful answer. But her own answer, though more normal in its wording, had been to the same effect. Mrs. Honeychurch went back to the window. "Freddy, you must come. There they still are."
"I don't see you ought to go peeping like that."
"Can't I look out of my own window?" But she returned to the writing-table, observing as she passed her son, "Still page 322? Freddy snorted and turned over two leaves.
"The bother is this. I've put my foot in it with Cess almost awfully."
He gave a nervous gulp.
"Not content with permission, which I did give, that is to say, I said I don't mind, he wanted to know whether I wasn't off my head with joy. He practically put it like this. Wasn't it a splendid thing for Lucy and for Windy Corner generally if he married her?"
"I hope you gave a careful answer, dear."
"I answered no," said the boy, grinding his teeth. "There, fly into a stew."
"Ridiculous child," cried his mother. "You think you're so holy and truthful, but really it's only abominable conceit. How dare you say no?"
"I had to say no when I couldn't say yes. I tried to laugh as if I didn't mean what I said, and as Cecil laughed too, and went away, it may be all right. Oh, do keep quiet, though, and let a man do some work."
No, said Mrs. Honeychurch, with the air of one who has considered the subject. I shall not keep quiet. You know all that has passed between them in Rome. You know why he is down here, and yet you deliberately insult him. I only let out I didn't like him, he pleaded. What I mind is that he'll tell Lucy. He glanced at the curtains dismally. Well, I like him, said Mrs. Honeychurch. I know his mother. He's good, he's clever, he's rich, he's well connected. Oh, you needn't kick the piano. He's well connected. She paused. And he has beautiful manners. I liked him too just now. I suppose it's having him spoiling Lucy's first week at home. And it's also something that Mr. Beebe said, not knowing. Mr. Beebe, said his mother. He said, Mr. Vyse is an ideal bachelor. I asked him what he meant. He said, oh, he's like me, better detached. I couldn't make him say any more, but it set me thinking. Since Cecil has come after Lucy, he hasn't been so pleasant. At least, I can't explain. I can. You are jealous of Cecil because he may stop Lucy knitting you silk ties.